desire to please God with your life? Do you also struggle with sinful thoughts and habits? Let's face it, there's a conflict going on there, right? I mean, on the one hand, there's a desire to please God, and yet on the other, there's a strong desire to please self. In Galatians 5:17, Paul puts it this way, "The flesh is in conflict with the spirit, and the spirit is in conflict with the flesh. They're opposed to each other, making it difficult to do what is right." Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 148. In this episode, we continue our journey through my book entitled, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. We'll be taking a look at chapter 8 this week. This week's episode is entitled, The Fall of a Superman. Well, as we begin this week's podcast, I'd like to start by reading to you a short story that I wrote in chapter 8 of my book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. So let's dive right in. The sun was beginning to rise above the horizon as Abraham and Lot finished offering the sacrifice to the Almighty God. As they stood on top of that hill talking about the many ways God had blessed them, they could see all of their flocks and herds, as well as the hundreds of tents belonging to their servants, dotting the countryside below them. God had indeed blessed them. Soon their time of worship was interrupted by a disturbingly intense commotion. Coming up the hillside were the sounds of their herdsmen bickering, yet again, about whose sheep belonged to whom and whose grass they were grazing on. "Hey, those are our sheep. They're not your sheep, they're ours. Well, your sheep's eating our grass. That's not your grass, it's ours." And so it went. Abraham and Lot just stood there, watching the foreman attempt to stop the fight. Abraham leaned heavily on his staff, and he began shaking his head. Pursing his lips, he let out a big sigh and turned to his nephew, "Lot. Lot," he said, "we have to do something about this. This quarreling between our herdsmen just cannot go on any longer." "Well, I agree, uncle," Lot replied. "But what do you suggest?" Abraham looked heavenward and prayed for wisdom. After a few moments of silence, he had an idea, a brilliant idea. "Look around, nephew. Look at all the land before us that God has given us. Here's what I suggest. Let's part company. If you want to go to the east, I'll go to the west. You choose to go west, I'll go east. It doesn't really matter to me. I'll let you decide." Lot always knew there was something he liked about this uncle. Leaning forward, Lot looked to the west and instantly wrinkled his nose. Nothing very promising in that direction. Turning to the right, he looked east. Now, there was some prime land. The whole plain of the Jordan was lush and green. The sunlight looked like brilliant gems dancing across the streams that watered the plain. There was even a booming metropolis way off in the far distance. A great place to do business. "Uncle," Lot said with a big grin on his face, "since you're giving me first dibs, I choose to go east." End of quote. Well, hopefully you recognize that this story is straight out of Scripture from Genesis chapter 13. I want you to notice the wording of Genesis 13, verse 11. See, that verse tells us that Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. Well, if you've listened to previous episodes of this Purity podcast, then you've heard me say that we do what we do because in our heart we want what we want. In other words, our actions will always follow the intentions of our heart. Therefore, because Lot's heart was all about King Me, in other words, his thought process was, "I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without," it was all about me, me, me. The Scriptures tell us he chose for himself to go east. He chose to leave his uncle with what Lot thought was second best. As we'll see in a few moments, that King Me-centered choice led to other choices, which in turn led to other choices, all of which resulted in the fall of a Superman of God. Now, someone may argue and say, wait just a minute. Lot? Are you calling Lot a Superman of God? No, I'm not doing that, but God is. If you're familiar with the story in the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah, then you may recall that as 2 Peter 2 verses 6 through 8 says, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and he made them an example of what was going to happen to the ungodly. However, before destroying those cities for their wickedness, God had sent two of his angels disguised as men in order to, as 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 8 continue to say, to rescue Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man, living among them day after day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Did you catch the fact that three times in just two verses, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, three times, God calls Lot a righteous man. Now, just so that we're clear, the word righteous means exactly what you would expect it to mean in the Bible. It refers to a person who stands before God as one approved and accepted. Righteous. Now, we need to understand that Lot was a righteous man in the eyes of God. He stood before the Almighty as one approved and accepted. So for me, that begs the question, what exactly is it that makes a person righteous in God's eyes? I mean, when you look at the life of Lot in the scriptures, Genesis 13 and 19, which we'll dive into more detail in a few moments, you see nothing to indicate that Lot was a righteous man. So what exactly makes a person righteous before God? Why did God say Lot was a righteous man? Well, let's go to the scriptures. You see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it tells us that Abel was a righteous man because of his faith in God. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 tells us that Abraham was considered a righteous man because he believed the Lord. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, we read that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. In Romans chapter 3, verses 20 and 22, the Apostle Paul writes that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, I want you to think about the verses I just quoted to you. You see, God makes it abundantly clear that no one can stand before him as one approved, as one accepted, based upon their own good deeds. No one stands before God approved and accepted based upon the merits of their obedience to God's holy law. Their good deeds aren't enough. James chapter 2, verse 10 reminds us that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it, James 2:10. So no, you cannot earn or otherwise weasel your way into God's good graces. The single requirement, the sole requirement for being a righteous person in God's eyes is putting your faith in God. So I have a very important question for you to consider here. In fact, I submit it's arguably the most important question you will ever be asked your entire lifetime. Here it is. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Okay, now, what on earth does that have to do with Lot being a superman of God? For that matter, what does that question have to do with you or me being a superman of God? Faith in Christ alone for your salvation. In other words, believing with all of your heart that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin in full, accepting the gift of eternal life that only Christ can give, places you in a right standing before God. If you have done that, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you stand as a righteous man before a holy God. Period. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer that all he had to do was put his faith in Christ and he would be saved. You see, it is through that faith that you become a part of God's family. Have you done that? It is by God's grace that you are saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that salvation comes only through the act of believing in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, dying in your place, paying the full penalty for your sin and for mine, and trusting in the fact that 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he's alive today, as opposed to what you think you can do to save yourself. So again, I ask the question, have you done that? Well, if your answer is yes, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation, for your eternal destiny, then you are considered by God to be positionally righteous before him. But let me quickly add here that if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I encourage you, please go to our website, thepuritycoach.com. On that website, at the bottom of the page is my phone number. Give me a call. I would love to talk with you about how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Now, let's go back to our story of Lot. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a superman of God. No, he most definitely didn't act like it. He certainly didn't live like it. Not according to what we know from Scripture about Lot. But according to God's word, God considered him a righteous man. And because he was, the Scriptures tell us that Lot was also a very miserable man. You see, the sinful choices he made and the wicked lifestyle that he was living conflicted with his righteous soul. His flesh was in conflict with the spirit, and the spirit was in conflict with his flesh. More on that in just a moment. But what about you? As we just saw, if you're a born-again believer, you stand righteous before God. But are you acting like it? Or are you experiencing that conflict within your righteous soul because of the evil, wicked, sinful things that you are choosing to do? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, we see that Lot, as that righteous man, was greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked men around him. In other words, Lot was fighting an intense internal spiritual battle. On the one hand, you see, as a righteous man, he wanted to please God in every part of his life. And yet, on the other hand, as a self-centered, egotistical, sinful man, he wanted to please King Me through the many pleasures that sin had to offer. As Paul describes it in Galatians 5:17, I referred to it just a moment ago, his flesh was in conflict with the spirit, and the spirit was in conflict with his flesh. They were two polar opposites, locked, if you will, in a fierce combat for the rights to dictate to the soul what to do and what not to do. Lot's story is a serious reminder of what can happen when you allow the flesh and its sinful desires to win out. In an earlier episode of this podcast, we learned together that we choose our consequences when we choose our actions. Let me repeat that. We choose our consequences when we choose our actions. Now, I want you to think about that principle as it relates to Lot, and not just Lot, but you and I as well. Every choice that Lot made led to a consequence. Choose wrong, pay the price. Choose right, enjoy the peace. You see, Lot's problems began with King Me sitting high and mighty on the throne of his heart. Genesis 13, verse 11 tells us that when given the option to go west or east, Lot chose for himself. And because King Me was sitting on the throne of Lot's heart, Lot saw nothing wrong with the following choices that he was making. So I have a vital question for you. Whom is sitting on the throne of your heart? What are the things you are choosing for yourself? And what are those consequences, or what will those consequences be? Choice leads to consequence. You may also remember from a previous episode that God spoke with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 about this very same thing. Just before Cain chose to murder his brother Abel, God had said to him in Genesis 4, 7, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Choice always leads to consequence. You determine the consequence every time you decide the action. Do you recall how King Solomon learned the hard way that man's primary purpose in life is to fear God and to keep his commandments? If you don't remember that, I challenge you to open the book of Ecclesiastes and just read it. In chapter 1, verse 14 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And then at the end of his search for meaning and purpose to life, he comes to this one final powerful conclusion, and he writes it out in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He says, "Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and keep his commands. This is everyone's duty." Ecclesiastes 12, 13. So I have a question for that wise old sage known as Solomon. Here it is. Hey, Solomon, what is the most important thing that I must do in life so that I will continuously fear God and consistently keep his commandments? Well, Solomon's answer to that question is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, where he writes, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Now, I want to submit, there is some awesome counsel. I mean, what a fantastic tidbit of God-given wisdom right there. The most important thing that I can do. In fact, the most important thing that you and I must do above all else is to guard our heart. Nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than this. Above all else, always, always, always post a guard around your heart. Okay, great. So the most important thing I must do every day of my life is guard my heart. But what exactly is my heart? And why is it so vital that I guard it? Well, to answer the first part of that question, we need to go to the original language of that verse, Proverbs 4:23. You see, in the Hebrew, that word heart is there referring not to the muscle in your chest that goes thumpity thump thump, but rather to the place where thinking and decision making occurs. In other words, your mind. What Solomon is saying is, above all else, the most important thing, nothing is more important than this, guard your mind. Let me repeat for emphasis here, nothing is more important than placing a guard around your mind at all times. But why? You've heard me say many times, if you've been following me in this podcast, that out of your mind come the things of life. What you think is revealed in the things that you do. But don't take my word for it. God himself said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think will become what you do. Therefore, choose to guard your mind and you will automatically guard your life. All right, now let's go back to the story of Lot. Because Lot failed to guard his heart. He failed to protect his mind. He chose to relax, to let down his spiritual guard, and to allow the wickedness of the world around him to penetrate and to permeate his mind, his thinking. And as a result, he was in spiritual turmoil. He made a series of very bad choices. And so I want to ask you, what's the focus of your mind? What thoughts do you typically entertain? What you think about will directly influence what you do. Are the daily choices that you're making in life for the benefit of King Me or for the glory of God? Yeah, you know, I can't help but wonder, if Lot had made a different choice, if he had followed the principle of Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Lot's story would have had a totally different ending. Now, Lot is long dead and gone, so he can't go back and he can't change the events of his life. But what about you? Well, be sure to join us next week for episode number 149, when we conclude this two-part look into the life and loss of Lot and discover from God's word how to prevent the fall of a superman. Well, let's hit the pause button until next week's episode. And next week, we'll continue our journey through the book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. But in the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry, be sure to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources available to you there. You can find our website at thepuritycoach, all one word, the puritycoach.com. If you've not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, let me encourage you, do so today. You don't want to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry, Steve Etner, reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.